You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
In the 1400s, influencers couldn't simply scout a location, arrange the perfect lighting, and pull out their camera phone to snap dozens of pictures testing different angles to find the perfect shot demonstrating how much better their curated life is than the lived experience of the rest of us plebeians. No, back then, if someone wanted a picture to go along with their smug sense of superiority, they needed to hire a painter. And in 1434, Jan van Eyck, or Jan van Eyck, I don't know, van Eyck, painted one of the greatest testaments to the enduring power of carefully constructing a casually posed portrait.
I feel like who Art Ed?
I'm trying to spice it.
Who Art Ed? Mr. Wood, Art Ed, me.
Yeah. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on so many levels.
I know.
That's off to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, where we explore visual arts in an audio medium. Today, I'm going to talk about the Arnolfini portrait. Some argue it is the first genre painting, a scene of everyday life, but it is far from everyday. The scene is captured in absolutely stunning detail. The portrait of the couple features details that signify their wealth and status, from their fine clothing to the large brass chandelier over their heads, which would have been very expensive in that time. Little things viewers today might take as commonplace, like the oranges, those were also displays of wealth, as they were hard to come by and consequently very expensive. Arnolfini was a wealthy merchant. I have read somewhere that some people say he might have been dealing with oranges. I've also mostly read that he was trading fabrics. Either way, dude had some money, and as we look at the details, a lot of this work seems to be flaunting that wealth. Now, to capture all those details, Van Eyck must have been working with a magnifying glass and like a single bristled brush. He captured the most minute details, including highlights on every individual amber bead hanging next to the mirror. The mirror in the background is also a detail that at first glance might appear totally normal, but on closer examination and considering the time in which it was created, that mirror is a demonstration of remarkable technical ability, capturing like really complex composition. The mirror is circular with a convex lens. It bends outward, creating a sort of fisheye effect. Van Eyck not only captured his subjects in front of him, he also captured the reflection of the rest of the room and their backs in the mirror, and he also captured the distortions on the curved surface. The man in the portrait, Giovanni di Nicolao di Arnolfini, has one hand up as though he's waving to the viewer or someone entering the room from where the viewer would be standing. In the mirror, we get a glimpse of two people entering the room. Many speculate that one of those people was Van Eyck himself, as he was a friend of Arnolfini. Of course, a darker interpretation of the gesture we see here is that Arnolfini has his hand up, raised almost like he's putting a prayer or a blessing towards the wife. People have also noticed that Arnolfini seems to be wearing black, and there's a candle lit above Arnolfini's head, but not above his wife's. Looking at the time period and what we know of Arnolfini, his second wife passed away in childbirth. And some people say this is sort of a loving tribute to his deceased wife. Of course, as with any work this age, there's a lot of debate about the meaning and symbolism. A common interpretation is that it's a sort of wedding scene. The man is taking the hand of his wife. She's in the interior space near the bed, reinforcing the gender roles of the time, with the woman's place being taking care of the home, while he stands by the open window, symbolizing his role in the outside world. Also, just as a side note, one little thing that we can tell from looking out the window, we see the cherry trees in bloom, which tells us that this portrait was painted in springtime. The mirror in the background is said to represent the eye of God witnessing their union, and the frame of the circular mirror has a dozen small scenes of the Passion of Christ. The small dog could be seen as a symbol of fidelity, or some say it's simply another signifier of wealth, as many wealthy women were given lap dogs for companions. The green dress symbolizes hope. Many speculate the hope of becoming a mother, and while many viewers today believe the woman in the portrait appears to be pregnant, as we all know, you should never assume a woman is pregnant. Scholars say this was actually a fashionable look for the day. Clothing was very expensive. Their clothing was particularly expensive, with fur lining and stuff like that. The idea back then was the more clothing, the more wealthy one must be. So no matter how ridiculous the silhouette may appear to contemporary audiences, in the 15th century, those strange bulges of fabric showed that this was a person who could afford to dress themselves. She basically had tons of fabric, and if you look, it's not actually a belly protruding, it's folded up fabric going over her belly. It was conspicuous consumption, proving yet again that for as long as we have had a means to record what people looked like, those people have worked to dress themselves up and surround themselves with the markers of their high status. While some see modern mass media as producing a more vain and shallow culture, I would argue Van Eyck shows us people have always been feeding their egos and flaunting their privilege with material goods. At least now, most people know better than to use animal fur to do it.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com.
Podcast done.